Marilyn Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Life Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2, for Autumn Semester 2019. Lecture 2, delivered on August 22nd.
Today, Foundations of Finance. I'm going to show you something that I will show you every day at the beginning of our lectures, the screens. I'm going to get you used to looking at stock and bond markets, where they currently are, the terminology we use, so that when you go out there, you would have an inventory of words and ideas that are not common to people. And some of the words that we use have a broader, simpler meaning in the larger world, and we have a sharper meaning here. So, for example, bulls and bears. A bull is an investor who is positive on stocks. That investor would say buy. Only if a gun was put to his head would he say sell. Bulls are optimists. They believe that the markets will go up. Over very long periods of time, they are right. Markets do have an upward bias over very long periods of time. That might not help you, though. On the other hand, a bear is an investor who is pessimistic, who is looking for the problems, who would be on a hair trigger to sell out or to short sell. And I'll show you the difference between a selling and short selling. Most people think that the way you make money in a stock market is to buy, so the price goes up. In fact, that's only half of the market. You can actually make money by what we call short selling. It is the way that if you think a stock is going to go down, you short that stock. In other words, we don't even say short sell. We short that stock, and then we win if the stock goes down. In either case, make no mistake about it, this is respectable gambling. You are rolling the dice with a little bit of education behind you, hoping that that might help you here. So a bull wants the market to go up. A bullish market is a market that is going up. A bear is an investor who thinks the market's going to do, or a stock is going to go down. And a bear market, not a bearish, a bear market is going to be one that is slipping downward. And now I take you to the screens. You see, stocks and bonds are two different, very different investments. Stocks are riskier in general than bonds because the stockholders have the residual claim. They get nothing unless you've paid your bills. In other words, the debt holders, the liability holders, get the prior claim. So stock markets tend to be riskier. They tend to be more volatile. Prices whip harder. Bond markets are quieter. Interestingly, the bond markets are 10 times the size of the stock market in terms of volume of trading, volume of ownership. In other words, debt holders, those who lend companies and governments money, are 10 times the size of the stock market, the equity markets, as we sometimes call them. Know this, when you invest, and I'll focus on stocks here, stocks are traded through exchanges. The one most people would think of is the New York Stock Exchange, that crazy floor where people are yelling and screaming at each other. I was there. It was really something back in the 80s and 90s. Now it's a little tamer than it was back then, but it's still an insane madhouse environment. The New York Stock Exchange is where large companies list their stocks, and then buyers and sellers trade those stocks there to make money, purely. Now, other exchanges exist. The NYSE, you can tell that a stock is on the New York Stock Exchange because it would, well, it's probably on the New York Stock Exchange because it would have a 1, 2, or 3-letter symbol. Okay? So, for example, K, that would be Kellogg. That's one letter, that's New York Stock Exchange. No question about it. Another one, though, you might see is AMZN. That's 4 letters. That is an exchange called the NASDAQ, N-A-S-D-A-Q, the National Association of Securities Dealers Automated Quotations. The NASDAQ is not an exchange, a physical exchange. It doesn't exist. It never existed. It's purely electronic. When I was a broker-dealer many years back, I worked in the NASDAQ markets. All my companies that I either had helped go public or I was making a market in them were those kinds of little companies. It was all on an electronic exchange. This was long before you guys and were born. Oh, God. And it was an internet. It wasn't the internet that you know today. Truth be told, there has been an internet since the 1960s. But the one that you know of today, that came around in the very early 1990s. But before that and since then, there's been an electronic bulletin board service. Okay, I've got a client that wants to get rid of 600 shares of this little stock. And then other market makers around the country will be looking at that, and they'll say, well, I've got someone who wants to buy 200 shares, match 200 of the 600. That brings me down to 400. Then there's some broke market maker over on the other coast. Okay, I got someone who might go for 100. And so there's this matching that goes on all the time. It is maddeningly huge. It has been even in my time, and now it's all computer-driven and all that, so the matches are made automatically. But that's not a physical exchange. That's an electronic exchange. Unlike the New York Stock Exchange, another one that's a big heavy is the AMEX, the American Stock Exchange, AMEX. One company for which I consulted, I actually got them listed on the AMEX. I wouldn't even dream of trying the NASDAQ. I'm sorry, the NYSE. Now, interestingly enough, the New York Stock Exchange is big 800-pound gorilla companies. Interestingly, now, the NASDAQ is what we call small cap. And I'll show you what that means later. But essentially, that means they're small companies, little companies. Oddly, though, there are some absolute behemoths on the NASDAQ. Microsoft, MSFT, that would be a NASDAQ stock. Amazon, AMZN. Another monster company, Apple, AAPL. They're huge. They could be on the NYSE, but they started on the NASDAQ. They stayed there. So a lot of what you see on the NASDAQ is small cap, penny stocks, pink sheet stocks, whatever, OTC, over-the-counter paper. But, you know, now, United States isn't the end-all be-all. Many, many countries have exchanges, like the NYSE. So, for example, Japan. Anyone know what the big one in Japan is? It's the Nikkei. And then China, the Hang. And then in Europe, they don't call them stock exchanges. They call them bourses, B-O-U-R-S-E-S, bourses. And they have their own paths, and they go up and down just like the New York Stock Exchange index does. Excuse me. But, even second and third world countries, well, second world countries. So, for example, I teach for international studies. We bring over officials from ministries of finance in West Africa, the Caribbean, Central and South America, and I give them absolute killer crash courses, sort of like this one, in Western capitalist finance. And some of them, they have stock exchanges, except that it's like, we might trade on the New York Stock Exchange 3 billion shares a day. Well, this one West African country sent a couple of their people over, and they were very excited to have me have a look at their stock exchange. We have a stock exchange. Really? I did not know that. And so they told me how to access it on the web, and there it was. a stock exchange, there were 49 companies listed. Three had had a trade or two that week, and the volume was 200 shares. Well, of course, you have to be nice. Yeah, that's incredible. Look at that. Oh, my God. I just came back from Panama, and it was just, they have a stock exchange there. But it is highly inactive. It's beginning to wake up because of all that insane money that's flowing in from China, Russia, the Arab states. They're getting a lot of money. So you're beginning to see that one light up. You know, I'm sitting there, and it's just kind of dead. You know, a few companies have a few hundred shares trading, and then all of a sudden, wait, was that 1,000 shares? Whoa. And then another one lights up, some buyer, some foreign investor putting money in. So there are some that are coming alive, some that it's going to be a long time before they really get anything on them. But there are indexes, there are stock exchanges around the world. Now, understand this. A stock exchange is not the same as an index. For example, I could say that the NASDAQ composite went up, let's say, 2% today. That would mean that, all of the stocks taken together, on average, went up by 2%. But if I said the S&P 500 went up 2%, S&P 500 is not a stock exchange. That's just a collection, sort of a theoretical portfolio of 500 very large companies. So know the difference, because I'm going to show you in this screen that some of what you'll see are actual exchanges going up or down, and others are just indexes of one kind or another going up and down. We use those indexes as sort of metrics of the largeness of a company. Now, here's another thing. Sir, you made a dollar. You invested $10 and you made a dollar. So you had a $1 increase. You, on the other hand, madam, you made a dollar on your investment of $100. Do you see why those are completely different? You made a dollar on 10, that's 10%. You made a dollar on 100, that's 1%. We really don't care about absolute numbers in finance. We care only about percentage changes. That's all. The Dow went down 600 points. Well, yeah, that was on a 17,000 baseline. Well, if you tell me then that the NASDAQ went down 600 points, well, that's going to get my attention right away. So always keep your eye on the percentages. Try not to look at the numbers very much. So what I'm going to do here, and this is an important part of what I'm doing today in this lecture. Now, when you're a professional investor, it's probably not a good idea to do what I'm doing here. You have access to some unbelievable subscriptions as a student or as an alumnus. And one of those is Standard & Poor's Global Advantage. And I can get much more better information there than where I'm going here. However, this is that thing where you look like a man who is a very healthy person. You eat low cholesterol, high fiber. You exercise three or four times a day. But you know what? That's me. But every now and then, yep, that's Red Robin. So I pull up and I look in the window for a while. That's right, people, you go ahead and eat that burger. Yeah. And finally I break and I go in there and eat it. Okay? So this is that Red Robin or McDonald's or something like that. It's fast and easy to get to. It's finance.yahoo.com. And it's good enough. Now the one thing is that I'm going to throw terminology at you. Write what you can. I just keep doing the same things. You'll see that as a teacher, I just keep saying the same things over and over, slowly. I don't expect you to know things the first time I do them. But over a period of time, you begin to see information that you don't see it. I'll walk up to someone after the first or second class that I've shown this, and I'll say, what is this? What's the value of beta? And I don't know, because they don't look in the right place. It's still a blank, and I understand that. That's fine. Look here. You see that we have a mixed market right now. The Dow 30 is the largest 30 companies on Earth. Interestingly it used to be called the Dow Industrials. However, as the global economy has changed, the giant industrials of the earth have been moved out and more entertainment companies have been moved in. So you will have Disney now. I'm sure that the original creators of the Dow 30 would have had a fit if Mickey Mouse had been part of the Dow, but it is now. So the Dow it measures what is currently the sentiment of the market as it applies to the largest companies of the earth. It is an index. It's a theoretical portfolio, although there are ways you can actually invest in this thing now. They're called ETFs and mutual funds. But anyway, the Standard & Poor's 500. This is the 500 largest companies in the world. Now, interestingly here, those 500 companies constitute about 70% of the equity ownership of the entire world. 70% of this planet is in the hands of 500 companies. That's a little bit disturbing right there if you think about it. And I mean, but then here's the NASDAQ right here. These two are not exchanges. The NASDAQ is actually an exchange. They actually add up all of the prices and then divide by the number of companies, sort of. So that is actually, and these are mostly, almost all, except for those giants I was telling you about, these are small companies. So when I look at the movement of that from day to day, I'm seeing what the investment world is thinking about those, what the impact of current events is on the smaller companies of the world. Know this, that if you think you can beat the market, you're just the kind of sucker that we love because you believe in fairy tales. The trading here is being done by the best of the best minds and computers on Earth. Literally, you go to a broker station and see what, there will be screens all over, phones hanging off his or her head, communicating with an entire planet. Behind that trader are increasingly artificial intelligence programs that are analyzing things faster than a human could possibly do in literally less than a hundredth of a second. An artificial intelligence system can do more analysis than a human can do in 10 lifetimes. Worse yet, and it sounds like science fiction, but it's real now, there is at least one house and probably a couple more that can see what the price will be in the future. They can literally see. The record now is about 100 milliseconds, 107 milliseconds into the future, a price can be seen. That means, do you think you're going to beat it? It's already there. You see, you buy in, you think it's going to go to $5 from $3, that stock. Well, if that system is looking at that stock will have already bought in and driven the price to $5 before you can even say, buy it. It will already have been there. It will take away your capital gain because it saw the price before you actually did. That sounds like science fiction. Welcome to your world. It actually kind of sucks. You're not going to beat the market. Don't think you are. But if you do, let me know because, you know, I got some friends on Wall Street who'd like to have an extra martini for lunch. Now, notice that this is a mixed day. It is not an active day. Look at the percentages. These percentages are not really hardly anything. Anything less than about 0.3 to 0.5% is actually a minimal day. It's a quiet day. It's a dead day on the market. However, you do see, I was wishing we'd have one of these wild days. We're having some cray-cray days now. But as you can see, on the S&P 500, who's winning on the S&P 500, the bulls or the bears? The bears, okay? However, no. So the bears are in there, and okay, who is winning on the, for example, the Dow 30?
It's the bulls.
That's right. The bulls are saying, that was a good cow. Don't tell me that wasn't a good cow. Now, well, I know there is, but I mean, in our market, you know, we're completely, you know, we're blind to the gender of the cow, and, you know, it, and
yeah, we're all inclusive.
Yes, yeah, so we just call them cows or bulls, or we call them cow bulls or, you know, bull cows, or, you know, we cannot discriminate, okay? And there's trans cows, you know, which is. I can't have trans fats. My doctor said no trans fats, so those cows are off the table for me as a steak. Where the hell was I? Okay. But you notice, interestingly enough, that the whatever news is big right now, the markets seem to think that that is good news for the very, very largest handful of companies on Earth. But when you get down to the S&P 500, it's slightly bad news. And then when you look at what that same news means to small cap companies, it's not that good at all. So you notice that this is a way that we can tease out what the world events of the day are indicating for different levels of corporate scale. And then we can look at other markets too. For example, we can go over here. Now, one here, Russell 2000 is just another index. There are literally thousands of indexes you can follow. Wiltshire has a bunch, Russell. I mean, there are so many different ones. They're just different portfolios, theoretical portfolios of stocks. And you can track it if everyone has his or her favorites. Now, interestingly enough, metals are down today. Metals are down. Metals are safe havens. In other words, if all hell is breaking loose, the first thing investors will do is sell their stocks and move to bonds, which are safer. But if it looks really bad, investors will flee the bond market and they will head for the metals. This is called flight to quality. Flight to quality. Large-scale movement of investors. Large-scale movement of investors from higher risk to lower risk investments. Large-scale movement of investors from higher risk to lower risk investments. Flight to quality. So the old rule, here's how it worked. From stocks to bonds, from bonds to gold, from gold to bullets. Because if gold isn't safe enough, then just go out and buy yourself some good good firearms. Yeah?
Can you write the second word out of order for a stock? What was the second word?
What was it?
The second word.
Flight to quality?
I can't hear it.
Are you talking about this? What did you say, a fight? You know, like Fight Club? Yeah, my voice, actually I should be using the mic today. My voice is a little bit on the dim side. But the last time I used the mic, I sort of shook the speakers. Yeah, flight to quality. The large scale movement of investors from higher risk to lower risk investments. You're trying to get into a safe haven of some kind. Bonds are, of course, safer than stocks, because, as I've mentioned before. And so stocks, if you're getting scared that the equity markets are going to fall, then you sell out, you take the proceeds, and you buy bonds. But if you think the bond market is going to go south, then you sell your bond holdings, and then you move toward hard metals or something like real estate to protect yourself. And if that goes south, well, then it's the zombie apocalypse, and there you are on that. Okay, now, just as one more here. As you can see, look at this. The 10-year bond price is going up. So if you were to notice, look at this. You've got the Standard & Poor's and the NASDAQ dropping. Investors, more investors selling, more bears and bulls. And what are they doing? They're using that money to buy into bonds to push their prices up. This is where that economics comes to life. Demand for, the supply of S&P stocks is increasing as people sell them, which drops their price. The supply of NASDAQ stocks is increasing because people are unloading those. And where's that money going? It's going into demand for bonds. Pushing demand goes up, price goes up. So this is just a little minor example of a flight to quality. It happens. This is nothing spectacular. When we go to the full-blown crash, which we will in the next definitely before a year, you'll see hardcore flight to quality. Investors selling everything and running toward metals as fast as they can to get out from under the avalanche that's coming down. But that's tomorrow. Now, I want to show you a few stocks before I do anything else. When I look at stock screens, I am looking at information about trading activity for the day. I'm looking at overall activity over a larger period of time. I'm also seeing information about the relative risk of these securities. So to begin this process, let us Netflix and chill. NFLX. Pretty much a dead day. Now, this is today's trading activity. These are volume bars. Volume bars. And this is price. Do you see how we started off? There was a tiny little sell-off here at the beginning. And then, do you see how the bulls roared in and popped the price right after the opening bell? Do you see that? Look at that volume spike right there. The bulls came in and they said, moo, and it went up. But then the bear said, eh, and the cow said, moo. And then, look at this broad-based bear attack. Do you see that? Look at what happened. Oh, you think this is bad? Wait until you see what happens on Tuesday. You will be offended. And then you see, look at this volume spike. Do you see how the bulls made a run? They saw the price down here as being undervalued. Okay, fine. So the bulls come in, and they start buying. Look at these spikes, just up, up, up. Every now and then the bears say a little bit, and then finally they go away. And you notice this bear spike right here? Do you see that bear spike right there? You see it? How do I know it's a bear spike? Because there was a volume surge, and the price went down. That was more sellers than buyers. And then there's been... Through the, now this is actually, this is dinner time on the street, Eastern time. And so there's been a general quiet. It's actually quiet. The bulls are just quietly buying in on NFLX. They still haven't quite overcome. It's still down 19 cents for the day. Okay, that's fine. Nothing big. I mean, that's not, look at that. See, the percentage is what really matters. 0.06. Whoop-de-doo. There's nothing really going on there. Quiet day for the stock. Now, on the other hand, if you wanted to see something that's a little more dramatic, I could do something like, let's do something. MSFT. Notice that MSFT and Netflix, NFLX, those are both NASDAQ stocks. They're traded on the electronic bulletin board service. Microsoft is actually down noticeably, 1.2%. That's enough to get your attention. Bears are, look at that, see that bear run? Look at right there, look right in there. That's a bear run from hell. That's a nice one. That means that the stocks are pulling down. You had a bull, you have a bear pullback, and then you had a bull run there in around 10:30. You had a bull run that pushed it back up, and it's really been kind of a surge up and down. No one's really excited right now. In other words, right now, the market sees the current price at 137.12 as not far off from where it should be. There's not really a lot of excitement because there's no more news. The news happened this morning, and so that news gets impounded in the price, and that's the end of it. Remember what I said. Once information is more than an hour old, it's no longer has any value because it's already in the stock price. And now the markets are just waiting to see if there's anything else that could be said. Now, a company that has been in the news in the last few days is GE. Hard pull upward because of good news. It turns out that the whistleblower who was saying bad things about GE sounds like he was actually the backer for some short seller who was wanting the price to go down. And so this whistleblower was pumping out bad information to cause the stock price to drop, which would mean that a short seller would make a lot of money. But now it seems that he's been outed for what he was doing. So look, 1.53% up. That's a good run. Do you see, however, that this is a hella volatile market? This is ups and downs and ups and downs. You've had bulls and bears tugging and pulling, but generally speaking, this is the market overall is bullish on this stock now. Taking it down here, see this bid and ask? The bid is what you're going to sell your stock at. The ask is what you're going to buy it at. There will be a difference. This difference is called the bid-ask spread. That's how we make our money as brokers. We buy at a little lower price. You can sell it to us, but we'll take it from you at a lower price, and then when we sell it ourselves to someone else, we'll sell it at a higher price. It's a markup. Sometimes this bid-ask spread is virtually nil, like it is here. This is only a penny.
I pulled up one. Last spring, the bid-ask spread was like a dollar.
And I thought, that's a lot. Now, see, this is called the intraday range. You notice the stock has swung between $8.11. That was on this trough right here. And the highest it's been today was $8.31, probably on this peak right, right there. 52-week. Now, starting to open your mind's eyes to what you see. Sir, talk to me. Is this stock currently near its 52-week low or its 52-week high? GE.
Low.
It's near its low because the lowest it's gotten over the last year was 640. The highest it's been over the last year is 1325. So the current price at 828, that means that it is closer to its 52-week low. Some people would say that's a good sign, that it has shown the ability to get to as high as 1325. So unless something fundamentally has really changed about that company, we should believe, at least have an expectation, that it could do that again. So that in itself tells me that there might be a marginal buy signal on the stock just because it is near its 52-week low. Now notice the volume. The volume is how many shares of that stock have traded so far today. 40.8 million shares of just that stock have traded. That is one stock. Now, on the average day over the last year, almost 63 million have traded. So it looks to me like this might be a little bit more than the typical. By the time we finish the day out, the volume probably will be a little above what it normally is, which means that this is an active stock for today. That's all there is to it. It's just an active stock. Now let's look at something that's hilarious. Tesla. Tesla is up again today. You see, there are some people who still believe that that company is going to make it. Probably won't, or at least in its current form it won't. It's run by a crazy pothead. No, this guy, he's fined by the SEC for what some of this crap he's been doing. So what does he do? He tweets nasty things to the SEC. Oh, you don't do that. The SEC can send people to make you some hard-timer's old lady in a federal facility. Here you go. This is actually, see the bid ask? I would be able to sell this stock at 223.19 if I want to buy it right now, probably at about 223.39. There is a 1.2 million share, that'd be 120,000. Currently pending to sell, 100,000 pending to buy. The day's range, that's a little bit, but notice, look at this. That is over the past 52 weeks, this was the high, almost $380. So you can see that this stock is closer to its low than its high. Volume is actually quiet on the stock today. See, we're past the midway point of the trading day. The bell's going to ding in just a couple hours. And so we see the volume has barely made it to half of it at this point. Now, the market cap, that's short for market capitalization. The market cap is the number of shares currently outstanding times the price of those shares, the price per share. In other words, this is the market's assessment of the total value of the equity in the corporation. This is the market's assessment of the total value of the equity in the corporation. Let me show you something here. Apple is the ownership value. The equity value of Apple is close to $1 trillion. Just one company. Let's look at Microsoft. There's another trillion right there. That's $2 trillion in two companies. Amazon, now we're up to $2.9 trillion in three companies. In other words, these companies are worth more. There's probably a cluster of about 10 companies that are worth more than, well, a cluster of about five would be worth more than the sum of the values of every person on Earth. Just a few companies are worth more. You add them all up and it just gets ridiculous. But in about five companies, they're worth more than all of us on the planet as individual humans combined. If that doesn't take you down a few notches, I'll find some other ways to. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.